Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
If you can make a dish, you can make a signature recipe and showcase it on your beautiful website that you built with Squarespace. And if you can make a stitch, you can make an outfit and put it on your online store that you built with Squarespace. And if you can hit the pose, you can teach the class that they can book on your site that you built with Squarespace. Because whatever your business, you can build it at squarespace.com. Use offer code EMPIRE for 10% off your website or domain.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, a Talk Radio 1210 WPHT special presentation.
It's the end of the world.
Hey, Neuro, let's put a trigger warning on trigger warnings.
One of them is just going to drive.
I gotta take it on the other side.
Anthony, what's up? What's up from the other side? Dan Borowski and Anthony Dorenzo. Dan Borowski from the Dom Giordano program, Anthony Dorenzo from everything else here, 12th and WPHT, just every man. Coming to you with another Other Side where we take you behind the glass to talk about what we want to talk about as producers. Sometimes less political, sometimes more political, sometimes right-leaning, left-leaning. I don't know where we'll go, but Anthony, want to lead off with some sad, tragic news unfolding here in Philadelphia. Tell me what's going on, man.
Yeah, so they're being careful to not necessarily call it a mass casualty or a mass shooting event at this moment. But in West Philadelphia today, at a Ramadan celebration, there was supposedly a shooting incident with multiple shooters. Supposedly four people are in custody at this moment.
Four people? Yeah.
Wow. So I don't know. I mean, people are out there saying some look suspicious when the event started. This is the kind of thing, you know, Krasner's going to say nothing about. I think people who listen to our show know this. Like, I'm not the most religious person in the world, but like seeing things like this and seeing how people, I don't care what religion you are. If you can't go out and just like practice your religion in a community without a violent act happening, I mean,
This is happening at the end of Ramadan celebration. Yep. At the end of Ramadan.
Yeah.
No word that you've seen whether this was a hate crime or anything, right? You know,
not if it yet. Was. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that could change. Like, it's all breaking right now. Steve Keeley, I'd say follow him on Twitter right now as this continues to kind of unfold, because he'll be live on the scene as this keeps happening.
It's sad to see such a, and I was doing research for the other side today. I was going through some national websites, CNN and all, and above the top, there's breaking news, you know, shooting in Philadelphia, and it's gone national. It's sad to see such a tragic event overshadow what was just a freaking awesome weekend, man. I don't know if you got to enjoy it at all. Are you like, we talk about it sometimes, but have you become a wrestling fan since this past weekend? Because if you're unaware, last weekend was WrestleMania. WWE descended upon Philadelphia, as did so many different indie wrestling organizations. AEW brought ROH. There's WrestleCon here. And, dude, it was like Times Square out there. Down by Chinatown Convention Center, it was shoulder to shoulder packed. People were loving each other. It was such a fun, it was a great camaraderie. I don't know. Did you get to experience any of all that? Any of that living up there?
Yes. Yeah. No, it was definitely crazy. There was, I think, something around 300,000 people more. I think actually more than that because of all the other venues, not just Lincoln Financial. But I mean, an insane amount of people. The energy was great. I had a lot of people ask me just because, you know, a lot of people are asking around locals. They would ask about restaurants, like things to do other than the WWE stuff. Everyone's like just having a great time. And I mean, I think I mentioned this to you. Like when I was a kid, I used to always like joke about WWE and like, cause I knew it was fake and I was like, who cares? Yeah. But now, like, I don't know. I understand the pageantry now. Like I love the dedication to the bit, maybe cause now we're in radio, but I love the commodity. The yeah. And the just playing it. It's like male. It's literally like male General Hospital. And I see you put on
the list Vanderpump Villa. It's like the male version of Vanderpump Villa or Real Housewives.
It's funny. Cause Mary told me she hates WWE. What a go.
Oh, come on.
But she likes Vanderpump. It's the same thing. It's
the same thing. Just with fighting in a ring.
Yeah.
Before we go forward, John said Philly's so bad. Even the Eclipse won't go there.
Well, that was anticlimactic here. Absolutely.
It really was,
Well, because if you're not getting a full eclipse, I mean, I'm all for it.
Are you one of those people down on the street, though, with your like holding your little glasses to your face looking up at the sky?
I didn't do it this year. I have done it. I only didn't do it because I didn't have the glasses. But I mean, if it was a full eclipse or if I would go, like, I'd go on vacation to experience the full eclipse. Like, that looks really cool. That looks
would you really?
Yeah, why not? I mean, I'm all about just spending time outside. That'd be great, especially with what we do. Get me away from a computer and just let me sit my ass.
I guess, to use it as an excuse, I'd do it, but yeah. I wouldn't specifically go on. Like my future brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, Maisie's sister, is getting married coming up here in September, and he's a guy that goes around the country working on helicopters, and he stayed a couple extra days at his location. I think it was out in Ohio or something, so he could see one of the best sights of the eclipse, and I was kind of like, dude, really? Like you're going to extend your work stay just so you can see the eclipse? I don't get the appeal. I don't understand it.
I don't know. It's just something that doesn't happen a lot. I feel like it's pretty unique in a sense. Like it only happens like especially a full eclipse. Like if you're in that path, that doesn't happen every year.
I guess people had the same kind of FOMO with the eclipse that I had with WrestleMania. It's been 25 years since WrestleMania was in Philadelphia. It's true. It'll be a while till it's back. My nephew.
WrestleMania and the eclipses, they all come in, you know, every three decades.
My brother-in-law came up from Virginia, this being my side of the family, brought his two sons. And Friday night, we went to the old ECW Arena 2300 down there in South Philly. Took a tour there, then went to an ROH AEW event. But then Saturday, we went to WrestleCon, WWE Superstore, and then made our way over to South Street, dude. And it was, I want to see more of this kind of stuff in Philadelphia. I know it's a pain in the ass, like with the streets closing, and I don't know what the locals that live like right around it think about it, but take a look at how cool this was.
Yeah, there was a whole lot of body slamming on South Street earlier. A section of it was transformed into an outdoor block party. They put a full-scale wrestling rink right in the middle of the street. There was food, music, and special guests. All right, then over at Xfinity Live, wrestling legend Ric Flair was hanging out with fans, doing a meet and greet. We had a chance to talk with him. Take a listen.
You want me to tell you that I'm a limousine ride?
I can't cut off Ric Flair.
Flying, Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, style of the profiling, kid stealing, wheeling, dealing, son of a gun, private jet flying.
Oh, Jesus, Ric.
Limousine riding, and I'm having a hard time. Woo! Woo! Hold this. Alligator's down.
Woo! I love that they just kept the camera on him for that long. Good old Ric Flair. Actually, did you know he was canceled from wrestling, essentially?
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, there was a plane ride from hell. It's a, what's that?
He's like the Kramer of the group.
Kind of. Well, I mean, I guess you can consider Vince McMahon the Kramer at this point. Yeah. Much worse. But Philly crowd proving itself again, why it's fantastic. This being Monday night, The Rock calling out Philadelphians.
Broke another record for the largest gathering of trailer park trash.
Not many people like it, well, wrestling. That's what I mean. Like, a lot of people seem so misunderstood with our city. Like, they get it. Like, they get it. They should have WWE here at least once every 10 years. Let's make it not 25 next time. Triple H.
It's interesting you say that. But you think of the Philadelphia fan and how much hate they get. But honestly, I think the Philadelphia fan almost treats sports as wrestling fans treat wrestling, yeah, and that's why you have so much booing. Is yeah. Even though you know. Like the idea of the heel is someone that it's been that you know they work their ass off, you know they're great workers, but their entire character is for you to hate them, so you boo them even though you kind of like them and you respect them. That's yep. Like Philadelphia fans, you boo your teams even though you like and respect them. You know, that's just.
Well, I was talking to a Mets fan earlier, and he's like, he told me he's a Mets fan, and he told me he hates the Phillies, and I'm like, yeah, same. And he's like, aren't you a Phillies fan? And I was like, yeah, but I hate them more than you do. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah, I hate the Phillies. I hate the Sixers. I hate the Eagles, but I love them just as much as I hate them, you know? So the perils of being a Philly fan. While we're on that, man, let's jump into some Sixers real quick. They're looking pretty good, looking hot going into the playoffs. Might get that sixth seed now and not have to play a play-in game. And I guess that would face them off against the Magic and give them a route that they can avoid the Celtics till the Eastern Conference Finals.
If the that's Celtics something make it, happen. If the Celtics are good enough to make it, you have to put that little asterisk in there.
You don't think they are?
I'm not saying they aren't. I am fully back again. This team, it's like the freaking plague of my life is believing in this team the second that I have a chance to. But yeah, I'm all in again. Embiid looks great. Maxey looks great. They're averaging like the most insane numbers together. Yeah. In the NBA.
Maxey scored 52 the other night. What the hell?
Yeah, and he's on that list now, scoring 50.
Why doesn't Maxey get the respect of a number two? Like even Sixers fans don't really give it to him.
He's getting there slowly, but I mean, clearly, even last year, no one's gonna, you know, I guess some people admit it, but last year when we had Harden, he was the number two. Like, yeah. Maxey was the guy that carried us, and so, and he's the one that puts in the work and doesn't complain. I do think Maxey. Does he have a ceiling? Sure, I'll say that. But at the same time, he continues to grow. Like,
it's the weirdest thing with Maxey, man. Because like you have a guy here who is a Chase Utley type, where it's just a nose to the grindstone, works his ass off, dives for balls, basketball. You would think he would be the kind of player that Philadelphians would be quick to say he's a star, trying to push it nationally. But it seems like the opposite. The National is kind of recognizing him more as a star, more so than you listen to WIP. It's you get callers all the time that says Maxey still has a lot to prove. What the hell does he have to prove at this point? What do you think the downfall is for this kid? And why aren't we recognized? Like, we here in Philadelphia, we love that type of player. We want that type of player. But then when we finally have that type of player, for some reason, we don't accept him as a star.
I think Philly fans are hesitant to accept anything good from the Sixers of late, which I can't really blame the Philly fan for that because, you know, Sixers kind of have messed a lot up, even though they've gotten certain things right, especially when it comes to the Embiid era. So to be hesitant to think that Maxey's good enough to put them over the hump to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, let alone the finals, I can understand the concern, especially with their injuries. But at the same time, like, what you're saying, the eye test, especially in basketball. Look at Embiid and Maxey and how they play together, and especially if they could get Buddy Hield on the perimeter to be shooting the way he has and, you know, just have a more consistent...
Imagine having that name in middle school, though, Buddy Hield.
And, I mean, he's someone we've been talking about for damn too long because of the process, but I think he's a decent fit. I think if the Sixers... I mean, this little stretch here is about building that chemistry. And even this bench isn't as familiar with Maxey or Embiid. So they really kind of need to go through the motions here going into the playoffs. If they can avoid the play-in tournament, that's a huge win for them. And it's going to be an interesting playoff year because, and I'll say it again and again, there are no super teams. The Celtics aren't unbeatable. Even the Sixers could beat them. And this, I mean, this is the kind of playoff year in the NBA that it's kind of any man's league. And that's the thing that gives me hope.
So is it smart to bet them? FanDuel, I think, has them at plus 280 right now. I think it was $10 to win $280.
I'd throw a flyer on it. Why not to win the finals? I mean, that's $10. I'm not saying it's likely, but that's...
But I tell myself and I bet like $5, $10, you know, every night. It's like, oh, it's $5. It's a Purdue. You know, it's a championship for the men's game. It's only $5, but then it adds up. Oh, it's only $5. It's the Phillies home open. Oh, it's only $5. The Sixers game, you know?
Did you actually take Purdue against UConn?
No, I did. I hate Purdue. Right. You know me. I went to... if you're unfamiliar, I went to Indiana. So yeah. Purdue's a big rival. I was pissed off that they were already that far. Hey, just if you're new here and you're on YouTube, please feel free to comment. We like to go back and forth with listeners. Right now, John's in the chat trying to spell correctly, I guess. He spelled Maxi and then Maxi again. So I don't know. If you want to contribute, John, feel free. But also, just a real quick plug for tomorrow's event. Are you coming out to that, Anthony?
Yes.
You already do enough for this station. Oh, you're going to be there?
Yeah.
So tomorrow night, Dom sits down with Rand Paul live at the Zlock Performing Arts Center, 1210wphd.com, to grab some tickets. Greg released a couple more today. But let's move into politics and kind of back to wrestling. The Rock was asked about Biden. We already played with that, I guess, too much on WPHD. But The Rock was asked about Biden and said he doesn't really want to support Biden anymore. But let's move on from wrestling and on to Rand Paul and what he's been saying. Because I do want to dig into this before tomorrow's event. Rand Paul gave an interview to Laura Ingraham yesterday about the new book, Deception. And I'm trying to pull it up here. He said, what should be done to Fauci? And I'm curious to whether or not you agree with this. It's pretty radical what he said. I don't know, but I kind of agree. Take a listen.
What should the consequences be for Anthony Fauci?
Jail. You know, I've sent two referrals to the Department of Justice. I think he lied to Congress, which is a felony. You know, several...
You know what?
Folks from the Trump administration were accused of lying to Congress and carted off to jail with FBI agents all over their property, yanking them out of their house early in the morning. But we have two tiers of justice here. It depends on whether you were a supporter of Donald Trump or you're a supporter of big government, you know, the centralized government. But Anthony Fauci did lie to Congress. We know that from his own words, not because I say lies, but his private emails say he was lying. Virtually everything he said in private contradicted what he was saying in public. And he was fairly honest in private. Yep. In private, he said masks don't work. In public, he wore three masks. In private, he admitted that there was such a thing as natural immunity gained from getting the infection. In public, he was like, we're not going to measure that. It's unpredictable.
100%. And Anthony, it's one of those things where you have a health official here, and he's kind of had a hard position where he had to make very hard decisions, closing down closures of schools, businesses, and all. But the other side, it's coming out now that he might have been deceiving a lot of, I'm kind of on the fence, but now leaning towards Fauci should be held responsible, and I want answers or questions answered is really where I stand on the whole situation. Anthony, where do you stand? Should Fauci be in jail if he did indeed lie to us? And what we're seeing now is he might have.
I mean, I think jail is a little extreme, but I do understand Rand's point. Like, I think Rand is just trying to say we need to find a form of accountability. And if we don't find a form of accountability for someone like Dr. Fauci, like, where will we be politically in the next 5 years, 10 years? What if there's another pandemic? Why are we going to just blindly believe this stuff and then look back and act like there is no accountability, or at the very least, an admittal? And some sort of acknowledgement, and then an acknowledgement to move forward with a different plan. Like, I think that's really the main focus here. I don't like Fauci as much as the next guy, but this is also another reason why I think Trump continues to kind of get support from people who are fed up with things like this, because look how much they go after someone like him, but Dr. Fauci can get away with essentially whatever he wants. So it's just, I think it's that elite nature of a...
What do you think Fauci's like goals were? His do you think it was money based? My biggest concern with the whole thing right now is you hear a lot about myocarditis. I'm looking at a CNN article here that accelerated aging is linked to cancer risk in younger adults. Research shows There's all these medical questions that have popped up seemingly more. So I don't know if it's because we as society are keeping an ear closer to the medical, you know, community, and more stories are coming out. But it seems like there's a direct response of weird things happening to the younger generation post taking, you know, a jab that was very much forced upon us for what's coming to be questionable reasons. There's not many answers out there.
I don't agree fully with that, just because I think there are a lot of things we put into our bodies, especially of the last 20 years, including things like vapes that people use on a day-to-day, on top of all the chemicals and things that are in foods that we buy and eat every day. I'm not trying to call Dan out here. He probably feels like I am. Yeah. But, I'm just trying to say, in general, I think the pandemic made us all realize, like, what are we putting in our body day in and day out? And what is, like, am I taking too much of X, Y, or Z medicine? Should I have this one? How will it affect me? What will my doctor think of this? I just think, I'm not saying that isn't a good point. I do think the vaccine is something that people should consider carefully and also research. But I just think if we're going to act like that over the COVID vaccine, we need to be consistent over everything. And that's in general a problem I have with government. Overall, federal government especially, because they partner with these pharmaceutical companies, give them more money than God, and let them sell drugs to people and let them just take the drugs to feel good instead of try to change their lifestyles and become a more healthy person. So it's, you know, I think this all kind of comes down to that crux of healthcare colluding with our government at the end.
I feel like a lot of the reason RFK is as popular as he was previously is because he was asking a lot of those questions about coronavirus, you know?
Yep. Yep. So. And that's because he was asking those questions already to things that I'm kind of alluding to with the red dyes or other things that we put into our bodies on a day in.
Oh, so you're how far does this go, Anthony? Are you like full Jenny McCarthy, vaccines cause autism?
No, I don't mean that. But I think it just annoys me the people that will say that the vaccine is the only thing we need to talk about and think about when it comes to affecting us moving forward as young people. Like I almost something I didn't bring up. The autism rates have rapidly increased. And I think that has to do with whether it's things we eat or drink on a daily basis.
Like, no. You really? Do you really? I don't mean to doubt this because it's a very serious topic. But I've always had this question. The rise in autism isn't actually a rise in autism, or are we just more quicker? Look at me, maybe. are we just quicker to diagnose people with autism spectrum disorder because it's much of a broader diagnosis in 2024 than it was in 1980.
Well, they combined a lot of the diagnoses to just mean autism. Like Asperger's isn't a thing anymore. But I think in general, whether it's therapy, whether it's medicine, whether it's, you know, all these things that are given to us and almost shoved down our throats, we're definitely overprescribed to a certain extent. And on top of whatever we eat, I'm not saying everything we eat is poison. But we haven't asked these questions on a base level about plenty of other things that impact us on a day-to-day level.
Sid, we eat foods that contain chemicals that are banned in Europe. Also Thanks, said, I put it up there while we were talking about, hey, my least favorite radio team. How do I delete that comment? So, maybe there's a lesser team. So you talk about the crap that you're putting in our bodies, Sid. I don't know if you saw this, but I was very disappointed to see that the FDA is considering banning Lunchables from school lunches because higher than normal amounts of lead and other
another food Dan loves. You've been on the air talking about how much you love Lunchables. Multiple.
If I can pull up this story real quick. No, it's Consumer Reports are asking the USDA to do it. So here's the story. But yeah. Are you advocacy group Consumer Reports is urging the federal government to remove Lunchables from the national free and reduced price school lunch program after analysis found high amounts of sodium and elevated levels of heavy metals. Probably explains a lot about me, Anthony.
You're like, oh, that's probably why I feel like I have health concerns. The lead in my lunch every day.
Honestly, I had a lot of back and stomach issues, and I've stopped eating Lunchables and...
You have a lawsuit on your hands, my friend.
I was eating like legit one Lunchable a day. So Ben Swagger Diaper middle schooler students checking in. Hey, how you doing, Ben? Don't know if I won't we're excited to see you or not. Mangelbush says, hey there, Ben. And Sid, if I were Trump, I would make food chemicals an issue. You think that would be a winning strategy, Anthony?
I think it isn't a bad idea, but people would just say, "Oh, you're just they
taking Ozempic."
Well, that, and they'd probably also say, "Oh, you're just trying to rip off RFK." Oh, he does look good. Damn, he looks skinny there.
Yeah,
that almost looks fake.
You think he's on Ozempic?
Maybe. I mean,
yo, chat. Are you people on Ozempic? Why does it seem like 80% of the society is on Ozempic?
I hate the whole thing about Ozempic. Like, if you want to lose weight, start losing weight. Go out, go on a walk, eat some vegetables, have fruit. I'm sick of, I get it. Some people do need Ozempic because it's so hard for them to lose weight. But most people are just taking the shit to lose weight the easy way, and that's not good.
It's the easy button, right? You're just swallowing a pill and shedding off the pounds.
It's not good.
John says, Lunchables stunt your growth. Apparently not, John. I'm 6'8".
Oh, my God.
So I might have, like, some miracle growth. It might be the opposite. There's some kind of growth hormone in there. So I was talking to Ozempic. Oh, I wanted to say, on Ozempic, is there anything Ozempic can't do? A new article and study says it can lower the chance of multiple sclerosis and could potentially help sleep apnea as well. This coming as 100 deaths linked to the injections. Dude, what the hell's with this popularity surge in Ozempic? It's like this.
Are people that fat after COVID? Like, and they just want to lose weight? Is that
how deep into this COVID conspiracy do I want to go ahead of Rand Paul? Because you look at all that. It's crazy amount of television commercials at this point, Anthony, are pharmaceutical companies. And seems like everyone's on Ozempic or some kind of head med or mental pill. It's a sad state of society that we see ourselves in. And I don't know. I think Trump could make a big issue about it.
I just want people to talk about that stuff in general. I feel like to this point that hasn't been politically successful, but I don't know. I mean, look at what RFK Jr. is doing from a statistic and polling standpoint. He's focused on foods. He's focused on the vaccine. He's focused on corruption and democracy, like similar things to Trump. So if he did pick that up, I think it's a decent idea. And really, like, to what you're saying about these are things that affect people day to day. And we constantly talk about things that don't necessarily, I mean, a lot of them do, but on a more national level, like these things affect you in your daily life every single day. If you're using Ozempic, if you're taking another drug that you were approved for, or now you're eating red dyes every day because you can't afford the organic grocery store.
Are you actually like looking in ingredient sections and trying to avoid red dye?
I mean, I try to eat as healthy as I can. I still will be bad sometimes and get a bag of Oreos or, you know, Cheez-Its or something. But yeah, we could get that, Sid. I'm not going to say it because I'll take any money we could get. But yeah, that's great. Probably a good point. Yeah. it was a little bit of a sponsor if you're listening.
So you're talking about like issues that matter to us, kitchen table issues. And there's been a lot this past week about abortion being a kitchen table issue. Trump has come out and framed his stance ahead of the election, essentially saying that he thinks, you know, the long-term goal of conservatives were to use the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade and make it a states' rights issue, and that's where he thinks it belongs. Since then, Arizona Supreme Court now has a decision to make concerning a very, very tense or strict set of regulations concerning abortion that make Republicans look horrible. And Florida has the 6-week ban down there. And so there are certain states that have this, you know, kind of dagger in Trump's back to a degree of more radical stances on abortion. Do you think that this, you hear a lot on conservative radio right now that this is a great stance, but talking with people in our generation, do you think that this stance is actually going to work? Like, I talked to the wife who's very, this topic is very close to her, believe it or not. She's can be a one issue voter. So I'm trying to win her over to vote Republican at this point on the stance of abortion. And a lot of our conversation comes to, you know, I see right through Trump's bullshit here, where he's making a states' rights issue, where still, you know, if we take a job down there in Arizona, me as a woman, you know, brings up the whole standard pro-choice arguments and all that.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, talking with Mary, talking with other women in our generation, do you think that this stance that Trump has taken, which is a good one to a degree compared to what has been in the past, Do you think it's going to play in the election and win over some younger voters?
As it is now, no. Am I happy and honestly a bit surprised about what he did in regards to abortion? Absolutely. Like, I think it's, we need to start talking about the issue like this. And I am honestly kind of astonished that he is, because I know a lot of his donors probably don't want to have this real conversation that they know they're going to lose over abortion if they don't try to pivot. So the fact that he's even trying to pivot, I think, is encouraging. The problem is, this is what the Republican Party needs to do. The Republican Party needs to start framing abortion the way that the left does. And they need to start putting ads out there with their super PACs saying the left had 70 years to codify Roe and to make it common law. They waited. They knew we would overturn it because it's constitutional and turn it over to the states, which inadvertently, if you turn it over to the states, the people decide, which is how our government is supposed to work, and say it is banned, get a group of people together and change that. I know it's hard. I know government as a theory is something that takes work, but that's the whole point of government. It isn't supposed to be this guy at the top telling us what's allowed, which is how this is how we act now. We think just the guy at the top needs to tell us how to act. And Biden has mastered that. He has mastered the Roe messaging. And until they can find a way to convince people that this is just an issue that they want to fundraise over and that the left really manipulates people over, because this should come down to you and your doctor and freedom. And, you know, I don't think anyone wants to commit an abortion. I really don't. It's a hard, hard thing to deal with. And I think if the party starts going in that direction, and really, they need to put ad campaigns out the same way the Democrats do about abortion. And if they don't, I think they're just screwed.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And get ahead of it and frame it against. And that's the thing I try to explain to Maisie a lot of times is I think there can be a common ground found here. And I do think, believe it or not, I think conservatives want to find that olive branch and common ground more so than Democrats. And you watch again and time again, this issue is used as the number one emotional heartstring poll issue to get people back to the polls every 4 years.
Yep.
And there's always another wrinkle to it. And it's funny, I told her to look out for it ahead of time. And then essentially a week after I say that, Alabama comes out with the IVF ruling. And I'm like, yep, there you go. You know, there's the next step in this, you know, how are Democrats going to make this as emotional as possible? And I hate to say it, but I do think conservatives are on the right side of this issue in the sense that they want a solution. They want a solution that works. I don't know if that's some kind of national agreement or if it's a state thing, but I think it's got to be a state thing. And I think Trump thinks that as well. And that's kind of where he's went since his initial framing of the issue. He spoke on the tarmac today and essentially had I interrupted you for a second. I said the phrase "will the people," because that's something you'll hear often Trump mention. Take a listen as how he continued that one.
Thank you, sir. Mr. President, did Arizona go too far? Did Arizona go too far?
Yeah, they did, and that'll be straightened out. And as you know, it's all about states' rights. That'll be straightened out. And I'm sure that the governor and everybody else are going to bring it back into reason, and that will be taken care of, I think, very quickly.
What do you think about Florida? Florida's
probably maybe going to change also. See, it's all about the will of the people. This is what I've been saying. It's a perfect system. So for 52 years, people have wanted to end Roe v. Wade to get it back to the states. We did that. It was an incredible thing, an incredible achievement. We did that, and now the states have it, and the states are putting out what they want. It's the will of the people. So Florida's probably going to change. Arizona's going to definitely change. Everybody wants that to happen. And you're getting the will of the people. It's been pretty amazing when you think.
Yeah, exactly what you're saying there.
But this is what people don't understand. It's a principled issue, and we should be making the decision. Public servants, Dan. They are public servants. We are the people that are supposed to kick them out if we don't like their decisions. And we should have more say on our, I would say, on body autonomy within our states either way, because then you have more control over it. The federal government scares me. I don't know about you. I hate
that's where I am, too. Yeah. And I don't know what the hell this federal government's going to look like in 15, 20 years if we continue down this current path that we're going.
Yep. Yep.
With all the censorship and all. And let's plug again. Rand Paul will be talking about that a lot. Government censorship and preventing, you know, overreaching a strong federal government. Tomorrow, at Zlock Performing Arts Center, 12th and WPHD with Dom Giordano. Can't wait. Me and Anthony will be there. Nikhil will be there.
Stomping grounds at the Zlock Performing Arts Center.
Yeah. What'd you do there? Were you like one of the theater guys that was doing the lights or?
Were you one of the guys
dressed in all black that would change the sets out for the thespians?
I helped with some of the events that we held there, but I worked on the paper there and at the radio station at Bucks when I first started at 1210. So it'll be cool to be there again.
Yeah, all comes around. Sid says Republicans need to have the same message. Democrats get a talking points memo every morning. I think that's a big, bow on your package there, Anthony. Sid put a bow on your package. But that's what needs to happen is this you know, framing of abortion that you hear Trump having. I think it needs to percolate down to state, local levels and try to get everyone on the same page. And maybe you could actually win over some voters on the issue.
Well, I think the problem comes down to Republicans don't want to alienate their base that they know that they're going to upset. And in that
they're not going to alienate them. Like maybe they're less driven out to the polls, but there's no way in hell an evangelical is going to vote for Joe Biden.
I just think a lot of donors would get upset. And in a sense of like people who have money. And I don't know if they want to upset those people. On top of this is the number one fundraising issue in all of politics. True. Nobody really wants to get rid of their king chess piece to raise money every year and twist that emotional knife in your thigh every 4 years.
Yep. Yep. And another play at the emotions is student loan debt.
And, yes,
we're getting into that again as the Democrats drum up. You got Biden out there saying screw what the Supreme Court thinks. I'm going to order my way through to more forgiveness. And there was a new stance. I haven't watched this. This is actually the first time I'm watching it. So, Anthony, if you want to set it up with this TikTok is.
Yeah, I stumbled upon this on Instagram a couple days
ago. Oh, on Instagram, not TikTok. Good.
Yeah. So I stumbled upon it. I still, believe it or not, as much as I defend TikTok, I spend more time on Instagram. But regardless, it's a millennial asking if you've had this shared experience, and especially if you've listened to Dan and I.
I hate that phrase, shared experience.
Yeah, I get it. But Dan and I always bring this up when it comes to, we're talking about how the Republicans need to frame issues. This is a big reality check on how they frame the student loan issue. Roll it.
Let me know if you guys have had this shared experience. Do you remember when we were like 18 years old and a bunch of adults sat us down and they were like, hey, congrats, kid, you got into Pyramid Scheme University. And we were like, nice, this is what we've been dreaming of our whole lives because of what you told us our dreams are. And they were just like, yeah, it's going to be dope. It's going to be a bunch of money, but you listen, you just take out a loan. No big deal. You pay it off over time. And we were like, a loan, what even is that? And they're just like, didn't we teach you about that? And we were like, no, not once. And they were like, ah, that was probably a miss. And then we graduated college and we were like, oh, hey, yeah, that loan, that was like a lot of money. And the jobs I'm looking at are for like $40,000 a year. And like, I don't really think that's enough money to like pay off this. Can I just not? And they're like, no, you will, or it'll destroy you financially. But here's the thing, kid, just make the minimum payments. All right. You're going to make more money over time and you'll be fine. And then we made the minimum payments for a couple years and the balance came down like $7. And they were like, oh, it's because of the interest, but that just melts off. It like it's baby fat. That'll just come off. Don't worry about it over time. Just keep making the payments. And then over time, we were just like, hey, this balance doesn't seem to be coming down. Also, I haven't applied anything I learned in college to what I'm doing right now. And I probably don't even need it on my resume at this point. And they were just like, yeah, that's weird, man. But don't just keep paying it.
I mean, and that's the perfect example of what Dan and I try to get older listeners to understand is that all of American society as a whole, and not just the kids were duped, the parents were also duped. This keeping up with the Joneses college BS that we all accepted and allowed and thought was normal has led us to this point where nobody in college, or not even college, nobody in high school learned budgeting or financing at all. No. And then they sit you down and they...
That's such a moron when it comes to it. Thankfully, I'm married to an accountant, but...
I'm a moron with it too.
No concept.
I'm awful with it. We're in radio. You think I'm good at accounting? No. Yeah, it is get rid. Oh my god! I think we need to stop. The Republicans as a party need to stop saying, oh, you're an idiot for going to college. Oh, what'd you major in? Art, you loser. This is all your fault. When their entire generation as parents, left, right, center, said, if you don't go to college, like they didn't want the kid that didn't go to college. All of them.
Yeah, I know so many people that are pissed off because you have an entire political party essentially pulling a bait and switch. Yep. Where they're acting like this didn't happen. And you now have to get ahead of the issue because this is going to play well for Democrats in the election because they're the only ones that actually want to address this as an issue that is indeed holding back an entire generation from entering into the world of adulthood. Real estate prices are skyrocketing. And meanwhile, you have to pay essentially a second mortgage to pay down these loans, whereas you're just paying the interest, not even paying the principal. And you're screwed. You're screwed as you try to pay these things back. And there's something that I think Republicans need to embrace. They can say, you know, don't go after that art major degree. Go after something. But they need to come up with a plan. They need to come up with a plan to address the skyrocketing tuitions that schools have. They need to turn the enemy, not the student who took out the loan and saying, hey, they shouldn't get forgiven because my mortgage isn't getting forgiven. They were idiots for taking out the loan in the first place. It should be these big ass universities charging skyrocketing tuitions that get enormous endowments. What the hell's going on here? And why are we as politicians continuing to turn a blind eye to these universities that largely fund Democrats? That should be the Republican stance, and then offer some guidelines for these colleges. And I've said this before on the show, and I'll run it by again, but this is my idea for a Republican stance, a conservative stance on student loan debt. What you say is you vilify public universities. You say there's no way, there's no reason that public universities should be charging so much for tuition. You cap tuition based on degree in these public universities as to how much salary is expected from graduates. So you look at the alumni of that certain degree. You take a median or mean income and you say you can only charge tuition that's a certain percentage of what these people earn. So that's what public tuition becomes, is a percentage of the potential earnings of the graduate. Then private universities, because of where we live in a capitalist society, a fantastic capitalist society that is largely based on supply and demand, when public universities are charging much less for these degrees, the only response is private universities are going to have to bring their tuitions down as well. That way, moving forward, we fix the issue. We got to fix the issue. We can't just put a Band-Aid on it and forgive loans. We got to somehow get tuition handled. And that needs to be the stance of Republicans because, Anthony, I think young people would largely welcome that. It's okay, you know what? We got screwed, but we want to make sure our kids don't get screwed. That's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, we don't want to get hoodwinked into this again and to not change the system because this is the only system we have had. And even Minnie's pointing out in the chat that trade schools should never been vilified. There's no shame in being a plumber, electrician, or mechanic.
100%. Yeah.
That's 1,000% the truth. I just don't really get the need for college in a lot of cases. We just all made it a need. And it's, I mean, John's saying too, most college grads aren't handy. They call contractors. That's not all of them. I have plenty of friends in the union that they're welding, they're woodworking. Yeah. That's not me.
Well, they're not college grads though. They're in the union.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, actually, some of them are, but then they got smart and then went to grades. So
everybody's doing that right now. Like I got friends who are making four times the amount I am at my same age that went straight into the trades rather than going to college and trying to go this path or whatever. It's nuts.
Well, and this is why, and I know people think I'm almost targeting them because I'm like, oh, you allowed your kids and you told us to do it. I know it's our decision, but at the same time, parents also got hoodwinked. Like they also got, everyone got duped into this. We all shouldn't have believed it. We all believed it because in theory, education is good. It's just like what we deal with on a daily basis with the public teachers union as a whole, because they all launder the money and put it to the top and kids at the bottom in cities like Philadelphia still suffer.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. I feel like it's a somewhat fixable issue if somebody with sense were to address. Like, there's a way to frame both the public school issue and the college loans in a way that would work. And someone that should be so freaking easy to beat, man. You got Biden with the economy and all. It's here he is in front of the leader of Japan.
Third. But next question, who I call on next? Hang on a sec. I got my list here. Hang on. I apologize.
This is us on the show.
Really of AFP.
But the list, like he has a list to call on. He's being 100% controlled like a Pinocchio over here. Like, I don't understand how this should be an easy as hell election for Republicans to win against Democrats. And meanwhile, we're going to let abortion and student loans take us out again. What lessons have we learned, Anthony? I don't know.
Definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Let's be real here. There hasn't been a successful Republican in America since Ron DeSantis in 2022. And that's really something that built from 2020 on because of COVID. And other than that, and on top of that, he even shot himself in the foot a little bit with the abortion decision and among other things. So he isn't perfect. And that, I mean, he even seems like he kind of messed up the easiest presidential bid of all time. Like, if he really played his cards right, but he didn't at all. I think he listened to the wrong people. I mean, he has his own problems. But my point is, if this party doesn't look in the mirror and wants to live in this delusional world going toward November, then yeah, expect the same. Expect another term of Biden-Harris, because it's a joke if they think this is going to work.
Yeah, yeah. More pulling at the heartstrings, emotionality from the Democrats as they, you know, the situation we talked about last time on the other side with random attacks happening in New York City. What the hell's going on there? Now spreading to LA. You sent this over, Anthony. Take a watch.
Back on a woman out walking by the canals in Venice. It happened Saturday night at 10:30 as the victim walked on the path by the canal behind Strong's Drive. The suspect coming up behind her with a glass bottle, smashing it over her head, knocking her unconscious. What happened next? The LAPD won't confirm the details, but what we know is that it was violent. Violating. It happened right behind Bila Khan's home.
Well, it makes me feel very sad for the women that were attacked.
Wow, she is and like this- what I'd expect out of LA. But it's spreading to LA now. And you said something like this happened in Philadelphia, Anthony?
There are reports. I know it isn't totally. I was trying to find like a Fox or 6ABC report, but I don't know if anyone's written on it yet. But there were reports in Rittenhouse groups and on the Citizen app of women getting punched on 18th Street. I think it was like 18th and Spruce was the last report. There's a lot of people on the streets that are on drugs, and that could happen at any time. But it almost, the more concerning thing here, whether it's LA, New York, anywhere, really, if this is some social media trend that like everyone's just hopping on,
ban TikTok.
But that's not how you handle it. This is like content moderation needs to be a thing. I'm not, you know, I know we're all about free speech, but when someone's posting a video on how to steal a Kia or how to, you know, totally assault a woman,
like when you have a government that is aiming to destroy your society, what would the moderators have any incentive to remove kids stealing cars and pushing that upon the youth?
Well, Instagram also allows that kind of content, but I'm just saying, it's scary. It's scary on a societal level because we all seem okay with this. Kind of like when we opened with this Philly shooting, it's the same thing. Like, again, I'm not saying religion is my biggest forte, but the fact that people can't gather religiously and this is how it's treated. I mean, it's the same thing. People can't even walk in the city if you're a woman alone. And you're afraid, can't even put in headphones because you're scared you're going to hear some guy pick up glass and smash it into the back of your head.
But a perfect example of how Democrats use stuff like this to turn it into emotionality and drive votership. Salon article, men punching random women in New York City, a desperate last gasp of male rage fueling MAGA. Blaming it on Trump. Yeah, I don't know how you can blame this on Trump.
Everything's his fault.
It says the rise of MAGA is fueled by misogyny, but it's less a backlash and a tantrum, a rage explosion by men who want to restore their dominance, but fear that this time women won't buckle to their bullying. The rash of men punching women in New York City captures this moment in a dark way. We don't even need to know their names or faces to know that men who do this are losers, lashing out because they've learned that actually women don't owe them anything just because they're men. It's a very interesting way to look at it, but I don't believe that to be true at all. And yeah, tying it back to MAGA and Trump, Anthony, your thoughts?
It's just the nonsense we see on a political national stage at this point. It's the binary. It makes you think the other person's Satan and one is the savior, Jesus Christ. It's a complete and absolute joke. And I can't stand how women who are victims are taking advantage of just for some headlines and clicks related to Trump. It's just disgusting. I can't believe that's the state of journalism.
Yeah. Minnie says, I agree with Nikki Haley about us all being forced to give out our entire legal name on social media. Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about
Nikki Haley guy.
What else was I? There was one thing I wanted to really hit that I saw when I was scrolling here, and I forget what it is now. So, what do you got on your mind, Anthony?
The RFK Curious Women of Bucks County is in front of me still, and I've been waiting to talk about this. First of all, RFK Curious, relax. Like, why does everything have to sound like there has to be like some sexual innuendo, kind of? But like, it's oh, God forbid, people look at a third party, the weird third party that nobody ever would vote for. It's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. And even before I even get into this a little bit, the comments on Reddit about this.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Someone said, I'm a resident from Bucks County. Here's my perspective. Anyone even considering voting for RFK is a loser and a moron. That's the state of politics today. He doesn't tell you why RFK is stupid or a moron or why you shouldn't vote for him, because his candidate probably sucks more than RFK. So they have to put out little things like that and not even have a real conversation with you. I mean, you know me. I don't even fully agree with RFK on everything. I don't. There are many issues I don't fully align with him on. But he's the only presidential candidate that really has talked about the issues in my on a national level as I've been able to vote for a president. And I think that says a lot. Like, I want someone who's talking about the issues, not just playing into the system that they think is going to exist forever. And this article just it breaks down so much of like this woman, Elaine Godfrey. She's a wine mom, and Lynn, everyone loves Lynn. She's a front door Philadelphia suburbs woman. And
is what's happening with RFK here in the suburbs? Like, obviously he's not as strong worded as Trump was, but there is definitely a push by Democrats to not only tell you you're wrong for supporting Trump, but there was also a push to essentially make it that you're disgusting for supporting Trump. To make it so they're almost like lepers, those that supported Trump in the, you know, mom groups and in the suburban groups, that you to not lose your associations, you had to remain a strong supporter of the left. Do you think that's kind of what's happening here with RFK, that they're trying to protect that left vote so much with Nicole Shanahan now being on the campaign, siphoning off votes from the left? Is that what's happening here, that suburban people are just essentially making enemies out of anyone who doesn't go with the flow of the Democrats?
Yeah, I think they are definitely kind of shaking in their boots. Like in New York, say RFK gets something like 10%, like imagine Trump winning by like a 1% margin in a place like that because of a guy like RFK. And these hit pieces are going to keep coming out. And the funny thing is about this article, these women are so relatable. I mean, especially in suburban areas, you could really see someone like this in your neighborhood, quote unquote. And that's why we need to start talking to people. And I hate telling people what to listen, or what to vote for, et cetera. But we need people to at least listen to someone like RFK, because I think it is insightful and it shows you the political, football that we deal with every day of just punting issues and pointing the finger and the whataboutism. That we're really, I mean, other than Trump's recent abortion stance, that's all I've heard from both candidates.
But I'll pose this to you, though. In a bipartisan system, isn't it kind of stupid to support a third-party candidate?
No, not at all. Because if RFK makes an impact and makes Biden lose this election, I think that can lead us to finally start building a party that matters to the people again and get something.
You don't think I hate to break it to you, but my mindset is that we're so deeply in this bipartisan bullshit that RFK being popular is only going to move the Democrats to... So Bernie, when Bernie had his popularity, he was a fringe candidate at first, but then you saw a rash of progressivism infuse itself into the Democratic Party. You saw them start winning smaller elections, congressional, Senate, and then you had presidential candidates who were far more progressive turning into a presidency now with the Biden administration that leans very progressive. Is it not just the Democrats are going to essentially Walmart the small business in the small party and take the strategy of RFK more centrist and essentially elbow out the chance of a third party again once if they were to lose this election because of RFK?
They can try, but look at how much power they have. So much power right now, and it's kind of not working. On top of, the Republicans are a mess of a party. So yeah. Even if RFK loses and gets something anywhere from like 8 to 20%, depending on what else he does here and how much attention he really grabs moving to the finish line, if something like that happens, I legitimately do feel, you know, whether it's that fringe Bernie guy, the Trump voter that never voted for anyone before, or even someone who loved Kennedy back in the day, and now they love RFK because they think he echoes that sentiment.
Ralph Nader, spelled R-A-L-F.
Ralph, R-A-L-F. No, but I do think whether it's someone like RFK or a Vivek or, you know, like these internet candidates, even going back to someone like Andrew Yang, like I think all of those people, not that they're perfect, I think they all understand this system needs to fully change. And I do think we're going to kind of need faces to help. Like, this isn't just a November fight. This is a fight that's going to keep going and keep going and keep going. And we have to understand that. And that's a big part of why I think I'm supporting third party no matter what.
Maybe I'm just pessimistic and I just fear that we're never going
to. I'm scared of voting in the system and just being complacent. That's what I'm most afraid of.
I mean, I'm kind of to the point where does complacency even matter at this point? Are we just so far gone as a society that we're screwed no matter what?
That's what they want us to think, Dan, and then they keep power forever, and we don't influence it. That's what they want us to think.
I know. All right, back to this local story one more time. Horrible situation, shooting here. But you look out to Michigan, and you saw that situation with the two parents who were both sentenced to 10 to 15 years for providing firearms to their very mentally unstable child who then went and committed, you know, a school shooting. And Dom and I were having a conversation saying the precedent that this sets, holding parents responsible for their kids' actions. Your thoughts on that precedent and expanding it to here in Philadelphia? Do you think it's a good idea for parents in Philadelphia to be held accountable for a lot of the crime here in Philadelphia is being perpetrated by teenagers? Should they be targeted as, you know, for the lack of accountability?
I like it. Anything. I don't want to ban guns. I think our gun laws aren't enforced now, but I think holding parents accountable is probably the most effective thing we can do to start changing this craziness. If we hold parents accountable, if we find a way, I mean, really in Philly, it's a different issue because a lot of these guns are unregistered, illegal ghost guns. Like it's hard to get a handle on that. But
yeah.
If a kid is found with one, I mean, my whole point with this is, and I get it, a lot of these parents don't know what's going on, but I think that's the crux of the problem. You need to be so involved in your kid's life. And I know it's hard. And I know a lot of these people need to work all the time to get by. But if you're not involved in your kid's life, you don't know what they're up to. I think that the blind trust and just thinking they're, you know, oh, there's no way they're in a gang and there's no way this could happen with my child. That I think is the entire antithesis of this problem. On top of, I mean, our city used to be a place where every neighbor knew each other. It isn't that anymore. So I think,
I mean, with the idea that it's, you know, doesn't that kind of remove accountability from parents though? That it's essentially where I hear you going is it's hard to be a parent. So
I know it's hard, but I'm going to say to really wrap my point, I don't really care that it's hard. You need to be involved in your kid's life. It is an immense responsibility, the biggest responsibility you probably will ever have in your entire life. So if you don't know what your kid's up to the point of they're in a gang and committing crime, shooting people, and you're kind of unaware, I think that's just genuinely fully unacceptable.
And I think there could be some kind of gray area to a degree here where, you know, a parent that aids a police investigation maybe shouldn't be held accountable.
Yep.
Because a lot of times parents, they're shocked to hear what their child has done. But I would assume that there are parents who then their instant reaction is to defend and justify for their child. And another,
yep.
The opposite would be to, you know, help the police figure out what's going on here. And, you know, maybe the person that pushes back should be held accountable. But at the same time, where's the line drawn for, you know, this is a part of you, this is your child. But like you said, there's a path to become a gang member. It just doesn't happen, you know, overnight. And you as a parent should be able to recognize that if you are involved in your child's life.
Yeah. And that's, again, I know it's hard and people might think I sound vicious and like going after parents, but no, I mean, it's the, like I said, it's the most serious job you could have as a human being. So you need to figure it out. And Minnie, yeah, I know. I do totally sound like that. I totally do. But people need to hold their kids responsible, beat them in the ass a little bit. Like, come on, get them off the streets.
Maybe you might want to rephrase the beat them in the ass.
Well, you know what I mean.
Not condoning. Yeah. Little side conversation happening. Minnie asks Mangle, are you still drinking chocolate milk and eating fried Uncrustables?
Fried Uncrustables?
Mangle says, I've been on a bacon and egg cheeseburger kick, Minnie. like, are you having bacon and egg cheeseburgers every night? Like, what do you mean by a kick? Yeah, no, he was saying in a Dom chat that he was suggesting fried Uncrustables as being fantastic.
I had a not fried Uncrustable today. Maybe I'll try that out. I'll fry one just for you, and we'll do a review. I'll let you know what I think.
You know, Minnie called into the Dom show this week. Did you hear it?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
She has like a southern twang to the voice. And
that's great. Awesome.
Yeah. She said Zioli. So we did Signs of the Apocalypse, and she said Zioli and Dom ordering a pizza with pineapple on it. That was a pretty clutch answer.
Yeah, that's good.
She also waited like way too long for the amount of time that Minnie should have had to wait. So I apologize, Minnie. Thanks for hanging in there and coming on with us. That was a lot of fun. Mangle, bingo, Anthony, guns are not a problem. It's illegal guns in the hands of dirtbags with no regard for life whatsoever. Do you think guns are a problem? Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, I don't think that guns are ever the problem. I do think we have laws that aren't always enforced. I think the biggest issue among people who aren't illegal gun owners, I think the second biggest issue among the gun community is that person that cannot wait to use their gun over anything. They cannot wait to show you flash that it's in their holster or pick it up, even show it to you like that. I think there's a lot of that in society. We constantly complain about that with police, but nobody complains about it with the average Joe doing it. So it's I think that's something that needs to be addressed. But illegal guns far and away, I think, are the biggest issue kind of driving all of this.
We've got a wedding coming up. It's going to have a shooting range at it. What do you think about that?
That's sick.
I would do that.
Yeah, I'd be all for that.
It's in an open carry state. So I guess wedding participants or wedding attendees are encouraged to bring their firearms, and there will be a
Mary firing never range set up. Let me never. There's zero chance. But that's pretty cool.
it's interesting. I don't know if I'd allow it personally. I'd probably be like, yeah, keep the firearms away from the festivities, please. Yeah. I don't need to mix alcohol with your Colt 45, please. I don't need to mix my Colt 45 with your Colt 45. Jimmy wants to know, who's a female voice on Kale & Company this morning?
Oh, Miss Robin, Tony's wife.
Oh, Miss Robin checking in.
Yeah.
Still freaking awesome that you got Tony Bruno on there, man.
Beautiful, man. Yeah, go back, listen to the podcast. We got clips on Twitter, the video.
Is Robin like a regular contributor with Tony?
Yeah. She'll chime in because she sets up his connection and stuff. So she'll make a couple comments.
Minnie wants to know, does Anthony go axe throwing with Dan? He's never gone with me, but
I need to. We'll set that up.
Dom and I were talking about setting up a outing and doing like show versus show in axe throwing competition.
All right.
You don't know that I'm a ringer, man. I hit like the bullseye 4 out of 5 times.
All right. I got to practice. Got to get out there. I'm down.
Tony Bruno is witty. I'll tell the story again why Tony Bruno is so close to my heart is because I'm a Madden addict. And Madden, like 04 through 07, he probably had the voice of Madden Radio, EA Sports Radio. And every time you were floating in the menus, it was Tony Bruno talking about what was happening in-game. I don't know how they did it, but always a legend for that reason for me. And awesome to hear him on our
station. It is weird. It is, because I think the same thing.
Surreal, right?
Especially with what ESPN does now compared to what he's doing now. It's funny.
Yeah. All right, man, let's sign off out of here. This is The Other Side. I'm Dan Borowski. You can hear me on the Dom Giordano program every single day from noon until 3. Anthony Dorenzo.
I'm on the Dawn Stensland Show, Kale & Company of The Other Side right here. If you're listening, thank you. And also, go to 1210WPHT.com before it's too late. Rand Paul event tomorrow, Newtown, Bucks County's Live Performing Arts Center.
Yes, we will be there. Come say hi. I guess we're on YouTube, so they will recognize us. You say that on radio, like, oh, yeah, if you recognize the voice, well, no, you'll recognize our faces. But we'll see you there. Live Performing Arts Center, 1210WPHT.com for tickets. Go get them. Bye, everyone. Thank you. Thanks, Minnie. Thanks, Mangle. Bye, John.
See ya.
Have a good one.
Las Vegas was built for stars. Here we go. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.